Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
What did you say?
It's been about 6 months since we've actually sat in the studio together.
It hasn't been about six months, has it? No, it hasn't.
How long has it been, Shane?
Yeah, 6 months.
Yeah, thanks.
A long time.
Time is man-made.
You're listening to Bandwagons. Welcome back, guys. We're in our new studio.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. Haven't seen you. Breed said 6 months, but I'm
nervous.
Sure.
I haven't looked you in the eye properly.
I know.
It feels like 4 months.
The direct eye contact is quite unnerving. But delighted to be back. The studio is divine. You should see this carpet, man. It's plush.
Yeah,
it is plush. The lighting is way nicer as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
No offense to our old studio, but...
No telly.
No telly, yeah, we are.
Yet.
Oh, sorry, here he is now,
yeah.
Here he is.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can fault at the minute.
Yeah, we'll work on that though, it's fine.
Sorry.
We never use it.
So here he is, oh, he's back in person now and he's shouting to make sure he's heard, this is it. Welcome back to Bandwagons, thank you so much for joining us, new and old, delighted to have you. I'm Fionnuala.
I'm Breed.
The usual. We are delighted today to be joined by the lovely author, Shiawai Goddess, Lord Barra.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm laughing already. Thank you for having me.
When did we pitch this?
Oh, this has been coming at least a year.
Yeah.
But we were like, we need to get Lord Barra on for DIY.
Yeah.
Or something.
Just in general, we would have had John for absolutely anything. We would have had John to talk about toast.
Like, I would have come on for anything.
So you're here to talk about your new book, Decor Galore, which we'll get into. But for anyone who maybe isn't as familiar with you, which I would say you're in the minority if you are at this point, like download Instagram and just ask Lord Barra, just follow it, like get a grip. Who are you? What do you do? How have you come to be in the studio with us today?
So I am a property portfolio developer in London, which means that I basically am stressed 7 days a week. I work for investors in property, but I work for the tenant side, so they can't like up the prices after I go in and judge. Like, my whole thing is to make it like a fairer kind of deal. And then I started sharing tips on Instagram on how to, like, I'd be learning some stuff or I'd be doing something that I'm like, why are all tenants asking this question? God, this must not be thought anywhere. And then I started making this book for tenants to make my life easier and so I could sleep on a Sunday. And then Penguin got in touch and were like, would you, because I was sharing some bits, like, and then they were like, would you write a book? And then I was like, I actually have this like mocked up book. And then it went from there. So Gaff Goddess was a book out how to repair, save money and kind of empower yourself around the home, like kind of up your knowledge. But it was for everyone because everyone kept pigeonholing me as a woman in DIY.
Yeah.
Which was just doing my head in. So I was like, we're going to do a book. Like, I even got, like, we got pink covers for it at once. Like, it just, at every angle, they were trying to steer me into, like, a push-up brand.
Girlies. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at you trying to fix things. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, don't get me wrong. That does sound stunning as well. But, like, I wanted it to be, like, gender neutral, but still camp.
Yeah.
You know, I always say it, like, Irish men are really camp as well. You know what I mean? So, like, they love all of this DIY. And then that was, like, repairing and getting to grips with stuff. And then in it, there was a chapter called Decor Galore that really resonated with people. And that I was, the feedback was, like, really touching for me because it was about zoning and kind of, like, less about the repair side and more about, like, making the space your own. And it really hit home with renters and people on a budget and stuff like that. So we kind of, I could have written that chapter forever. So we started writing it into a book and then that's where Decor Galore came from.
Were you surprised with how much, like, you blew up and kind of the how receptive people were to the idea? Or was it just for you, you were like, no, this space has needed to be filled for so long. I don't know why someone, I'm happy to be the first person to do it. But at the same time, it's like, why wasn't someone doing this before when there's such a need for it, you know?
Yeah, like, I think, like, I did think, like, why, like, I would have loved to have read that book when I started work. And, like, my friends and I love Drag Race and Housewives and getting drunk and stuff like that. So, like, where were the references about, like what do you do when you knock over a glass of wine and, like, modern day stains and stuff? I did feel there was a space, but, like, you know, I think, like most women, I didn't think that I was able to fill it. And then when it kind of, but I, to be honest, everyone that really gets into DIY is really sound and they're like, they're a bit different anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I do find that most people that enjoy the book, I'm just like, nice. You know, like I, it's like,
you're it, my people.
Yeah, I am kind people, of like, yeah. This is actually nice because I do feel like we're into the same stuff. You know what I mean? But I was shocked that it like, when it kept coming back into the charts as well, I was like, what the fuck has happened? Like, but can't complain.
It's just such an essential though. Like you have your books here to sign. I'm going to mortify you.
Don't rub me out. I asked Santi for Gaff Goddess last Christmas.
Stop.
And Santi brought me the book, obviously, and like a really gorge pink like toolbox with like all these different screw heads and all. And I was so buzzing. Like I got like an Apple Watch on Christmas morning and I was like just cradling this toolbox.
Screwdrivers.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I was like pink and like, gorge.
Isn't it so like, it's so nice to get like nice toolbox.
Yeah, yeah.
So good.
I was a nerd.
Did you write the book over lockdown or is it kind of another thing where it was like it was always in your brain kind of rattling around same as Gaff Goddess or?
Yeah, like it was always there, but like I felt like I could actually be more honest in it because what I feel about the home and it being our own space and stuff, like not everyone was agreeing with that before we all got stuck inside our houses. Like people were into like, it's all the over consuming all the time and everyone took a break from that during lockdown. So now like, people are more open to when I talk about things like the roots in your home because it was the only commute they did for 10 months, you know. So like now it's actually kind of ringing true to more people. So I'd say I wrote the book about 3 times because as I was getting further into lockdown and probably a bit more depressed or whatever it was and emotional and I hadn't seen anybody and all my friends had left London, I think it was just me. I actually get so emotional when I think about it. Hang on, give me a sec. I know, I always cry, you know what I'm like. I try not to.
No one's ever cried on this podcast before.
I so, and like, I think I'm at the end of the press trip and like it's my last interview and I feel so emotional. Anyway, take a deep breath, you old bitch. So I think it was like that book just became such a focus for me and such like a, I just poured my heart and soul into it. Mm-hmm. So I did write it during lockdown, but it wasn't a lockdown focused book. It was more like, people will understand this more. You don't sound like such a weirdo talking about this. And you don't sound like such an idiot making this magic moment of this tiny little part in someone's day. Like someone's experienced that. You know, they might think you are still a bit weird, but they're not going to think you're totally weird. So like, go for it. So yeah, Oh my God, caught me out getting emotional. How embarrassing. I do think you can keep it in, fuck it. I do think it's like, I think it's because it's the end of the trip. It just feels like it's come full circle. I just keep imagining myself at the desk being like.
But it must be so satisfying to see it and see it in people's hands and to see people actually use it. I find it really satisfying even seeing people, you know, like you'll share people who have tagged you in your stories or like a problem that they'll have solved because of you. And I'm like, I remember Louise McSherry shared you around, I think you were around like 7K or something. And I just remember you were just a revelation for me as someone who permanently had a stinky fucking washing machine and couldn't, had all these stupid little niggly things in the house. And I was like, I can't fix any of these and I don't know why. And then you were like, vinegar, goddess bath. I was like, oh, it was just like a hug of just, but just so practical. It was, oh, and anytime I look, I'm like, yes. Like seeing out, yes. Yeah, look, you're doing what?
It makes you feel nice doing it, doesn't it? Yeah. And it's like, that's what I was saying earlier, like to people, like it's why I can keep on going because the feedback is always really like, oh my God, I did this. Like I took what you said and I transformed it in my own way because it's like to teach people how to do it, not to just teach people how to buy this one product. It's not like, oh my God, I always use this. And it's like, I think about it in this way. And I always try to describe things like, why does vinegar work? Why does bicarb work? Like, think of the ingredients when they meet each other, like, what do they form and stuff like that. So, like, I think, like, when you see someone has listened to the lesson but then moved into something else, that I'm just like, oh my God. So, like, I do, like, sometimes I read some of the messages and I'm just like, I actually, like, this has seriously gone in to someone's head in a way that I could never have even dreamed of. And they've changed loads around their house or they're getting back something, you know? So it is, it's quite nice. Like I barely stop to think about it because I think I'd get overwhelmed with it.
Yeah. But you do have a way of explaining things that just sticks, I think, as well.
But to ye guys, like I'm sure if I explain that to like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you have to be a bit of a savvy bitch to like understand it as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's quick and like the reference points like are a bit unique and like it's, but it's very fast paced, you know? So like, I do think that a lot of us are like that, you know, like we're kind of just, we're used to moving quite quickly and that's why we didn't bother with home care because it was boring and slow, whereas now it's like chic
doable.
Do you
ever get sick of talking about it now?
No, I would talk about it forever.
Really?
Yeah, like I've been, for the last week I've been talking about it nonstop.
You must get asked the same questions over and over.
I dream about it. Like I when I'm on my own with it, like I'm reading, like I Google like really high-end appliances and read their manuals like every night. I love it so much. Even he's laughing. I really love it. It's changed my life. So and it changed how I saw myself. And also like every bit I learn, I'm like, oh my God, like, wow. Like,
yeah.
But it is probably just one of those areas where you can just keep learning though. And even in terms of like home styling, like there's trends and everything. Trends change and, you know, like all that kind of thing. Like it's new things all the time, you know. I'm going to keep the quiz to the end. I was going to have one more thing and then I was going to go to listeners' questions because we've got loads.
I love a quiz. It's a quiz.
It's kind of okay.
It's more of an opinion based quiz.
It's more of an opinion based quiz. Okay. It's like I don't want to give it away because I'm so delighted with the title. But anyway,
okay.
I was just going to ask, obviously, because we talk so much about your Instagram and it being that space, and like you're very good with your time in terms of what you give, and like you don't earn a red cent from it. Have any of the vinegar brands ever come knocking and been like, Spancon, hello? Or has that been like a conscious choice for you where you're like, these are my resources, I'd love if you bought my book or whatever else? Or is it just, how do you view Instagram now? Because it's like, it's a funny platform, you know?
It is. Like, I fucking wish a vinegar brand. If a vinegar brand, like,
hello,
no.
Chef.
We can't name a single vinegar brand between
Chef. Chef is stunning with your man on the front. And he's hot as well.
Yeah. The glass
chef.
Bottle. Yeah.
That chef is gorgeous.
Chef is a bit hot.
Is Chef?
It's the mustache.
It's the cheekbones. Isn't he really
Google
like.
Google the chef.
I know
now.
Him, but like, it was Brendan O'Connor.
Chef
and
is very
chef
like.
Chef off a glass bottle of vinegar.
Chef is. Listen, if you can fancy the Tater man, you can fancy Chef.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think so. I have a funny relationship with Instagram because friends of mine that do monetize it, I'm so happy for them, but it's usually people who have a talent. So they're like, this is just, it's like when you watch a TV show, it's the adverts. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, damn right, you're able to monetize this. But with me, because I'm teaching something, if I start to monetize it, people start to switch off and then they could miss something. And then also, like let's say with you, for example, when you'll do Love Island bits, right? I fully expect to look through ads when I'm doing that because it's that kind of a platform, and I do think like you deserve to get paid for entertaining us, whereas I don't necessarily see mine as entertainment. It's difficult because I feel like as soon as I start to monetize it, I start to have a boss on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
You've never met my bosses. I do not want another fucking boss.
Yeah.
I don't want the stress of it. My DMs are off completely. Like, I can't. I think because I went from like 60, 10 and 7 days a week, like while I was building, like on while I was growing, like on Instagram, I was just like getting rattled, like with the DMs coming in and stuff like that. I can't actually handle the admin of it. And then if you monetize it, you have to kind of keep, yeah. you have to keep keep it up, you know? And I'm not actually good at stuff like that. Like, I tried to show people books the other day and it was all mirrored, and then I had to repost it because I forgot to put the books the right way around. And my friend's mum, who literally doesn't even have a profile picture, had to tell me about it. She doesn't even have a profile picture. And I know it's because she doesn't know how to put on a profile picture. Had to tell me that the books were mirrored and there was no way. She was like, how am I supposed to even, you know? And I was like, I'm not good at this. So I have a funny relationship with it because
you owe someone something then when they're paying you. You have to keep it up, kind of.
Like, yeah, like I'd have to keep it up. And then also, like, so if I start talking about product as well, I worry that people don't listen to what I'm saying about technique. So if I'm saying like this product is really good, people ignore all the other bits I have to say, because I like to say like when a wall's made out of this, you do that, da da da. So it is difficult because brands don't like me anyway, because I tell them that you should buy well and buy less. So like they're not into me. And like, I don't know, I just find it tricky that like in the interior space, everyone else is selling. Everyone else is. Mm. Like I think if someone's entertaining me online, I love seeing ads from them. I'm not into the constant, like, making money from creating landfill. And that's what I'd be doing.
Mm.
You know, vinegar, different. Would I consider it? Maybe. But I work with a lot of brands offline.
Mm.
So I do a lot of consulting for, like, how to approach gender neutrality in their advertising, like, new features, like, how to speak to customers about it. Like, so I have actually been able to build, and I do, like, webinars for companies and stuff like that. So I have been able to, like, create like some another form of income from DIY. It just hasn't been in the Instagram way. And I think when you do a lot of interior, people really want to see your personal life, and I'm weird about that.
Yeah,
because like
well, I don't think it's weird. I think that's a very normal thing to, but I see, yeah, but I suppose it's different in your area where it's like homes, furniture, blah blah, and they're like, show me, and it's like, no,
show me your bed.
Yeah,
like, can we have an apartment tour? And I'm like, well, if I get robbed, it's my own fault.
Yeah.
My brother had to tell me that one day. He was like, you need to be careful what you're putting on Instagram. Like, people can map out your house. Like, if you're
a lot
like
of insurance
walking from...
is void. If you're a public account, some insurers now have a clause in it that if you show like an access route in your home and you advertise it, you're out of your home.
Oh.
Fair. It is fair.
Does your job exist in Ireland? Because it sounds like we need that.
It does, but it's usually... It doesn't even really exist in London because... Okay. Like, I had to, like, kind of create it, and I'm lucky I work for really understanding landlords. Like, so what landlords usually look for is to get it rented at the highest price. But if you're a really good landlord, you look into occupancy, where you want the flat to be rented for at least 2 or 3 years, not just the year, because then it costs them money. You have to work.
Yeah.
Landlords think all they think about is money. So if they give me £100 to do up a flat and they just expect me to put cushions in and I paint the entire room for that £100 and make it a nicer place to live, or I buy something else like lamps and stuff, I'm adding it for the tenant. The landlord notices no difference. I get such a buzz out of it. So like, you know,
yeah.
But not a lot of, like, I've had landlords approach me to be like, oh, can you do this? And I'm like, no, like, you're a fool. Like, you don't, I know that the minute I do this afterwards, you're not going to actually be great, you know?
Yeah.
So I only work with two rental agencies because it's in their hands after.
What's your favorite piece of furniture? Like, what make or breaks a room in
your
opinion?
Yours?
What's mine? Like a couch or an armchair. Like, I think that's because that would generally be my favorite room. Like, if you don't have somewhere nice to sit and relax, what's the fucking point? Like, you know.
Yeah. I agree. I think seats. I love like a pair of chairs.
Yeah.
I love, like, I always say to Shane, like, when we have a room big enough for a pair of chairs, like, we've made it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we have to afford the chairs and the room big enough for it. But like, you know, like these two armchairs,
a reading room.
I've always just wanted that. I would just feel so like nice sitting in a proper, like I'd have another wall to my zone of my own room, you know.
Yeah, my parents are like that. They just start buying like vintage just chairs that don't match anything. They have like outdoor furniture indoors and like
love.
Just everywhere there's just seats.
Love.
Yeah, your house is very comfortable.
It's just seats.
There's just seats everywhere.
There's just seats everywhere.
Lamps are really good as well. I think you can never go wrong with the lamp.
Mm. Yeah.
Ever. And they always say like it's bad luck not to buy lamps in pairs and stuff like that, but like,
oh, I never knew that.
No, but you know who made that up?
Who?
Someone who sells lamps.
Oh yeah, yeah, of course.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so like a lot of interior stuff's made up by someone selling it, but I think a lamp can make a whole space different. Like if we turned off the ceiling lights here and just had that on,
yeah,
and we had it focused up like just here in the center or just above us, you create an entirely different atmosphere, and you can decide that atmosphere just a click of a switch. I love.
Yeah. What would you do with the studio now, seeing as I can, you're
yeah,
doing
blank,
the maths looking around
canvas.
Yeah, what would you do? I know people can't. This isn't really good because it's not a visual medium. But
and
anyway,
we can't show you a video because
yeah, because then you'll come and rob Shane. So
it is pretty stuff, and it is like I think one good thing about this room is they have all the basics, original features, high ceilings, bay windows. But what I would probably do is set up a lighting system to create mood for each different client that you have. I think that would be a really good system, so that like you girls, like I can imagine, like you know those amazing neon lights. Do you know that people turn on to red when they have a lover and pink when they're, you know those ones
TikTok
that I'm talking about?
Yeah.
TikTok. They
I have them in my bed.
Yeah,
they be, what colour do you put on red?
No, I put on pink. Red is a bit too like Amsterdam for me.
Apparently it makes like skin look amazing.
Yeah.
And blue is apparently what they use in clubs because you can't see like, I don't know, something under it.
Yeah.
There you go.
So I think you should get those lights in here. But I could imagine that like you could make just mood lighting for each client. That's what I do for you.
Don't bother invoicing us, Shane. Invoice someone else. Invoice someone else in the collab payroll. Let's get into the questions.
Oh, yeah.
I'll go from the top and you can go from the bottom.
We can hit all of them. Look at Lord. Like this.
We have
ridiculous.
So many.
Oh my God. I don't even get them.
Some of them are kind of covered the same things.
Yeah.
Like some of them are a lot of like, I just moved in. I don't know what to do. Help. But anyway, we'll start with a classic. This is more DIY than Dick or Galore, but it's a good one. Random. Toilet sink draining really slowly. Convinced it's hair. Help.
Okay, no problem. So I don't know if they've got like access to the pipe under the sink. Like if you Google just like Laura de Parra block drain, there'll be articles out there that I've written on it. It's in Gaff Goddess as well. But you're going to have like...
Buy the book, cheapskates.
Yeah, buy the book. Even on Kindle, it's cheaper, but you can still... I mean, buy the physical book, please. So there's like a curved bend under every sink and it's curved so that it can't let like the gases come up from the sewer. But that curve usually means that stuff gets stuck inside it. So there'll be like a little guides. I've left guides all over the internet, I'm sure, that you can unscrew it and pull everything out. You can get a sink and drain on blocker, but they're usually too harsh for what we actually need. So you can do 50-50 bicarb and vinegar can actually make this chemical reaction that can almost like rattle the pipes. If you do them in 50-50, it creates even more of an explosion. If you do them 20-30, it means that they don't cancel each other out if you want to go into odor neutralization and stuff like that. But I would first start, before you buy anything, take it apart with washing up liquid and warm water. So only ever put like a third of a kettle down if it's a sink. Otherwise, you can blast your pipes. If that doesn't work, then go to the vinegar bicarb. If that doesn't work, make sure the pipe is cold and you haven't put any hot water down recently. And then you can take it apart according to my instructions and pull the hair out.
There you go. Hope you get sorted.
Yeah.
So do I. It's such an annoying thing. And also, if it's a pop-up drain, sorry, unscrew your plug and under the pop-up drain is like a spider shaped drain, and sometimes you just get a straw cleaner into that. That's usually, if it's a pop-up drain, it's definitely your little colander thing at the underneath it.
Do you have one? I have one if not.
Best way to hang a gallery wall when renting, any products recommended for hanging frames?
So because there's no competitors, I can say this, like command strips. I don't normally do product, but like command strips are great. Where everyone makes the mistake is they don't match the weight, the command strip. So like some of them only hold 2 kg.
Oh my God, I've made that mistake before.
And it falls
like
off
a
wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
nothing's broken or anything, but it's
but
just
they don't make it obvious enough.
No, they don't.
They don't make it obvious enough. And then make sure that if you're using like some frames are vinyl and you have to get the special command strips that are vinyl, or if it's a porous surface, things like that.
Yeah.
So command strips are great because you can take them off and apply them. But what you should do first is lay everything down on the floor. A lot of people forget that, like mark it out in masking tape. People usually lay it out on the floor and it spreads wider. They don't put in the radiator or something and it looks different on the wall. So take a picture of above it and then hold the camera up like that and you can just see what it looks like in the space.
Cool.
We're buying a new build next year, in brackets, hopefully contracts pending, and feeling very overwhelmed at the thought of decorating my own home. Any thoughts, tips? Best of luck. I do hope you get sorted with that, Gaff.
Yeah, same. And congratulations. We're going to positively manifest it in.
Yeah.
Congratulations, babe.
Yes.
I think what you've got to do when you're starting with new builds is you don't have like boundaries and rules and So it can feel like endless, you know. It's like if it's like if you don't have something in mind when you go shopping. So like both of the books cover bits like this, but Decor Galore is probably better for you. It helps you sit in every room and decide like, what's the true function? What do I need? And then you can look at the things you need and buy them properly, like that you're not going to make a mistake. Most people in their first home buy the wrong couch or they buy the wrong size rug. It covers all of that. It kind of has your back with that to kind of like slow you down and know what to buy first. So like that is a really nice kind of calm approach where you become the master rather than you having to follow a checklist in a book. So that would be quite useful. But like, don't worry, go slowly. Don't consume too much too soon. And you'll get it right if you just follow your gut with everything. Don't be swayed by what other people have. You're creating your own space.
Yeah. Sorry, I thought you were looking at me. Solution to clutter. My house can be tidy, but because of clutter, it looks untidy.
I think when it comes to clutter, like I'm a firm believer that like you can have clutter. Like I've got loads of bits. Like I love bits. Like I have tacky bits.
Tchotchkes, is that what they're called?
Tchotchkes?
Doesn't matter.
No.
I have no idea
that's
what
like
you're
the
doing.
Yiddish word, isn't it?
Yiddish.
I'll Google it there. Hang on. Okay. Oh, is that where she...
Yeah. It's like little ornaments.
Well, then they're all over the place.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Referencing Yiddish, what? Tchotchkes?
Tchotchke.
Carry on anyway. Sorry.
You saying it differently.
Answer whatever the fuck. And I'll just...
You're not going to find it because you're saying it wrong.
So they are everywhere. And
no, I have it. Look, actually, a chat is a small bric-a-brac or miscellaneous item. The word is long, but used by Jewish Americans. What did I say? Miscellaneous.
Michelin.
Like a Michelin star.
Sorry.
Like a really good version of miscellaneous.
Sorry, I derailed that question. Go on.
Clutter.
How do we deal with clutter, please?
Everybody has clutter. If you are really struggling with clutter, I recommend Stuff Happens. That book is incredible.
Oh, yes, like, that's incredible book.
Incredible. So, like, I would recommend going through that if it's giving you a hard time, like, in your head. Like, it's. I always recommend that book before you get into, like, the aesthetics of clutter. My recommendation is you've really got to consider where the clutter is sitting in your house. A lot of people don't have the stuff that's associated with the zone it's used in. So even if you just have a load of stuff that's not in use, learn how to store it. Like I go through storage systems and things like that. But sometimes you can just have groups of like bric-a-brac. Like I'll just group things and have them like on shelves. And when I pass it, I'm like, ah, all my crap. I love it, you know. But because I've done it in a considered way, it just makes it feel less cluttered. So I think you've just got to go room by room. But I always say start with the room you love and the space you love, and then you'll do that with love, and then end on your most hated space, because you'll be a pro by the time you get to the part that you absolutely detest. Most people start with the one they hate and then they feel worse about themselves.
It can be so psychological. That's what I talked about with Emma, who wrote Stuff Happens, and she said it's just like from a decluttering perspective, but even from a decorating. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I find it hard. I just feel like it's hard on my brain, and I go into it with the like
judgment from everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have a nice house. You're not a nice person. Oh, you don't have a nice house. You didn't work hard enough. Like there's this absolute judgment, and it comes from other women in the interior sphere. It's probably one of the beauty and interior are two spheres where like women are very hard on each other, and instead like we should be thinking of like this is your home. Like it's where you live. It's where like you have your best moments and your worst moments. Like people need to be kinder in that way around things, and stop telling people that when like it's the same as somebody saying that you need this beauty product for anti-aging. Like what? Like you know what I mean? So it's interior is getting a bit snobby like that as well. Or you have somebody very rich talking to people who aren't rich saying, well, darling, you know, you should have. And no one's actually saying, how do you want to feel in your space? How would you like to feel when you walk in the door?
Yeah. You know? It's just throwing money at the problem instead. How to bring colour into your home without it being tacky.
I love tacky.
Yeah, so, you're asking the three wrong gals here, because tacky's not a bad word in Bandwagon's HQ.
I love tacky, and I think sometimes, I think this person might mean like without making it look wrong to her eye.
Yeah.
And it can't be wrong to your eye if you go with what you love. So in my opinion, try not, like it's less about making it look wrong, it's about making it last for a long time. If you're someone who gets bored of things quite easily, go for really commercial colours like navies, white. This is what I always learned in design. Navies, whites, blacks, like those kind of original colours. So when you start to add in like on-trend colours that things age to your eye, because marketing is designed, fashion marketing, beauty marketing is designed to age out colours. So you're always looking for the new pink, the new brown, the new whatever. So try to go for really commercial colours, things that are going to be around forever, or things that you love so much you're never going to get sick of. And then just have a bit of fun with colour.
For sure, for sure.
What's the craziest feature you've ever seen in a house or would like in your house?
Oh, don't ask me that. My God.
Prosecco tap or something.
Oh, my God. I think, like, there's a house tour. You follow a really cool hotel tour,
yes,
don't you?
Yeah.
Did you see the hotel... They don't put this in. Did you see the house tour they did recently where her doorknobs are like penises?
No.
Oh my God, I'll send it to you. Oh,
please.
It's incredible. Like, it's her, like, have you not seen that?
No.
Oh, I promise I'm not lying. It's like, it is a thing. And she's got like a penis shaped hedge in her garden. She's incredible. She's this amazing photographer. Like, she's got rotating beds and all that. Like, it's like...
Oh, stop. Jamie Nelson.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I'm obsessed with her gaff. She buys them from all,
you
like,
can
old...
You put it in then.
She's all, like, old, like, porn shoot lots, yeah, and stuff.
Oh,
like,
shit.
It's yeah, so gaudy, but in the best part, like, in the best possible way.
It's
like,
motel,
in not a bad way. It's
motel
so...
Motel brothels,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, it's just...
And
everything's so
going,
soft and, like, bright and, like, schmaltzy.
And, like,
I love.
Hairy. Like,
yeah.
Everything's, like not... When I say the word furry, actually, with six
names. Yeah.
I don't mean that. I mean, like, yeah.
Velvet.
It's just, like, plush and, like,
yeah,
heart-shaped.
Hang on, I'll bring up a photo
stuff
so I can show Breed.
She's incredible. So, like, that's one house I've been, like, whoa. Like, Dita Von Teese's Architectural Digest is incredible because every single part is, like, really considered. I don't know what I'd love
there's
in mine.
She's a floating... I'm showing you this lamp in her bath.
Stunning.
Like, hang on.
What
let me show
that?
You the bed.
I don't have my glasses on.
That's her... Sorry, this is her room, like.
Oh.
It's very,
really
like...
I love that. It's very nightclub.
Oh,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Look at the fucking lavatory bathtub.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. She's so cool.
That is cool.
And look at the bathroom.
She wears, like, sounded a bit traumatizing.
With like, cut out see-through hearts over the bum, and like, this girl does not care.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
like,
look, you
refreshing.
Can see the penis bits there.
That's a yeah,
there's mosaic penis. Sorry, I'm lamp.
That's the intro.
Oh no, here's the other penis. Look. There, look. This is the
oh,
fucking
yeah.
That's where I started. Oh.
And the bed.
Sorry.
The bed spins.
You have that dressing gown.
I do have this dressing gown, yeah. Not as nice as hers. A lot cheaper than hers. Yeah, Divine, look at the horse on the merry-go-round. Anyway, sorry. Features.
So
what one do you want for your house then?
I don't know what I'd want. I'm trying to think, like, what I'd love in my house.
Do you know what I saw recently on a tour of? I went to, it's not Cambridge House, Newbridge House in Donnymead, or I can't even remember where it was, somewhere in Dublin. But they had, like, this, like, really old style oyster shucking table.
Stop.
For, like, and the champagne, like, a champagne and oyster table. I was like, Lord of Bar in my head. I was like, no one's gonna, I was with my parents and, like, two other, like, elderly people. I was like, no one's gonna get this. I was like, she would love this.
That sounds, because I love, like, a moment.
I think
something.
I took a picture, I'll send it to you after.
Oh, please do. I can, like, add it to my wish list. I don't know what I'd have in mind. I think, like, the world's most comfortable bed would be amazing.
Yeah.
You know,
fair.
Like, something like, I would love, like, a massive bed with, like, just loads of comfort. But, like, having to look after a massive bed sounds like a nightmare.
Mm.
Yeah.
Having to make a massive bed.
The dressing, yeah.
This is because I've been in a hotel all week now. I'm like,
yeah. Yeah.
Alone as well.
Over it.
Yeah.
We had a couple of housewives questions, but I'll leave them till the end. In the process of buying my first home, again, congratulations. Where to start with buying furniture? Huge fan. Not sure if she means of us or you, but let's just assume all of us.
All of us.
Yay!
Yeah. Birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah,
so
truly.
I would start with things that kind of, like, you need to... Like, when you first move in somewhere, it's chaotic for... Like, for me, it could even be, like, 6 months. You know, that kind of way. You still have some boxes to whatever. Sometimes you never really, because the space never really suits you or whatever, you never really think the space is going to suit you. So I would go for things that you need to make your day work the way you need to function. So let's say if you really need a lot of sleep, like, make sure you have a good bed. Don't leave your bed to last. If you watch a lot of TV or, like, you do a lot of, like, lounging around and your sofa, whereas some people work from home, like, and it has to be a good working environment for them, go for that. Like, just think, like, what's going to make life in a new house, which is already stressful, difficult for me, and write a priority list that way. And then some things you can then kind of go for something that could work as it for a while and then move it into another room. You know what I mean? Like, you could work from your dining table if you have a comfy chair, like, stuff like that. So I would, instead of thinking, like, what item do I need, think, what do I want every single day and what can help me live a bit more, like, stress-free, and then write your priority list from there.
How to stop crazy amounts of dust in an apartment?
So, like, dust is a difficult one because it just happens, eh? And it's usually coming from like it's coming from a source. Like sometimes it's an old house. Like obviously you need to keep on top of hoovering just to eliminate dust, but you need to make sure that you have the right kind of filters in the hoover. So some people hoover and hoover and hoover, but they're not changing the filter, they're not changing the bag. And a lot of older machines especially have this like re-emitting kind of thing with their filters, like a percentage that re-emits it back into the air, and people don't actually realize that. So like HEPA, I think they're called, or HEPA filters, actually suck it right in, so they're good for people with allergies. So sometimes it can actually be that you're hoovering, but you're letting it go back, literally getting nowhere, like a third is coming back into the atmosphere or whatever. Make sure that your drafts are taken care of, that it's not kind of getting in through somewhere. And I think like a lot of the time it just has to do with being an old house, so sometimes a massive deep clean is the only answer to keep on top of it, and then bit by bit then after that.
How to disguise an ugly view. Living room windows in my first floor. living room windows in my first floor flat have a view of a brick wall.
Now, I don't mind a brick wall because it feels quite industrial for me and I love that kind of... But then I'm thinking of maybe a brick wall in Ireland could be different to like my dream of this brick wall in like New York or something. Yeah. I'm assuming it might be like the grey concrete. So... what I would be Googling and researching there is houses in like Amsterdam, Copenhagen, like places where houses are on the street and people have done really good ways of like concealing the lower half of their windows. So if you're really minimal, you can go for like the lovely kind of like vinyl strip that goes onto it, you know, like kind of the sticker, and it comes off with a hairdryer when you move out. Or let's say you like it a bit more like tacky, like me, look up like bistro cafe curtains, you like the Parisian kind of style, and you could just put up your own little curtain rail and you can make your own little curtains for it. If you like it to look quite rustic, go for like a black one with like, I don't know, you go for terracotta linen or white linen, but make a feature out of covering half the window. So I would just look up like literally like Pinterest half window covers, but what looks absolutely stunning are the way that they, when they do it in like Copenhagen and places like that, when the street view can see into your living space, they've got gorgeous ways of disguising the view out and the view in. So you might end up finding something that really suits your style and actually makes something of the window that's nicer to look at than what's beyond it.
Cool, that's good.
Do you have any more, or I get another one?
I have a fuse box question. Oh, go for it.
Ugliest fuse box at eye level at my front door. Is there a way to make it glam / hide it?
So you can box in fuse boards, and if you are renting, like your landlord ideally should box it in, and how to terrify them about it is to tell them that it gets knocked against. You know what I mean? Like that's usually because they know that a fuse board is expensive in my experience. But what I do is I get it boxed in. You can go to like a carpenter. You can actually make one really easy yourself. Mm-hmm. There'll definitely be a YouTube on it as well. Just make some nice boxing in, paint it the same color as the wall, and you can just hang that onto the wall then. You can put a hinge on it and everything if you need to, but you can buy actual fuse board boxing ins, and no joke, like online. Like you can buy them and they just hang on. Some of them are like decorated, like birds, houses and stuff. Like you can buy really funny boxing in. You just get your right measurements and you can just slot it over it, and some of them have like key hooks on the bottom, they become something else.
Yeah.
So like have a look, like they're all around, but you can create one.
There really just is like a solution for everything these days.
Yeah, I was gonna say, me and Fionnuala are always moving house, or one of us is always in the process of moving house.
I hate moving house so much.
I'm moving back to my hometown in after Christmas.
Where's
I'm moving
your hometown?
Gory, Wexford.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I'm moving in with my boyfriend.
Stunning.
Yeah. That's divine. Very exciting. But we're moving into a house that's quite small and I'm kind of freaking out about storage.
What's making you worry most? Like what?
I have a lot of stuff.
But is it like clothes or display?
Yeah, it's clothes, and then it's like there's not a lot of space for like chests of drawers and like wardrobes and stuff. So I'm just like, is under bed solutions good?
Under bed is gorgeous. I can send you some links of stuff.
Yeah.
Like under bed is really useful. You just have to be careful that you don't, a lot of people buy them so long that they can't get them the whole way out. So I like half and half if you can.
Yeah.
So multifunctional things are great. But what I find in a bedroom is either as high as you can get with shelving, but is it your own house or are you renting?
It's his family house.
So you could build in something.
Yeah. And so he fits wardrobes.
He literally, their family job. Make furniture or something like
that. Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to send you some Pinterest images.
Yeah.
What I would do is use the whole way up to the ceiling, right? Okay. Built in, and try and shelve as much wall space as you can. If you have a hall that's wide enough, floor to ceiling, like stunning white shelves.
Yeah.
You can fill all of that with like curiosities, like books. You can have gorgeous boxes that are actually full of like scarves. You know what I mean? Yeah. You can fill it all up in like a really creative way. If you look up like full room libraries, you get people that do it like really chic. So I would be, if you can get that labor for free, I would have so much storage built in. And think about what you want seen and what you don't want seen.
Yeah.
You know, like you might want, what I love is like counter storage. So like up to kind of like your waist point. You can display on the countertop and then shelves above that.
Yeah.
And it just, it's nice. Like you can kind of add little bits, but then you can put all your crap and close the door.
Yeah.
That's what I need.
And drawers, as much, as many drawers as possible. Yeah. Because if you think about it, when you open the doors of a cupboard, you can't fill the full space like you can with a drawer.
Yeah.
Kind of a two-parter, because this is, we're getting into like the tea and the shade of home decor, but someone asked, biggest no, please God no, home decor trend, ATM, personal and professional opinion, please. And then we had a separate question which asks, kitchen trends on the way out. Any opinions?
Okay, so first of all, like I worked in trends for years. I know why they're there. I know why they need to work. Like I know they need to exist. But like the worst trend at the moment that like literally makes my head want to like explode is treating your home like clothing. Buying for like a season, getting rid of it. Like, what are you doing?
One of the housewives did that in New York in the first season, didn't they?
Jill, but Jill had that. She had it for about 15 years.
Was it?
Yeah, and she had that. She had that for eight, like, well, she had like a lot of that furniture. It was quite old. Like, and, like I can see, and also like,
Jill will never do any wrong in my eyes. Yeah. What a
Well, she went to the Trump inauguration.
Oh, well, actually, then that's not great.
Unfortunately,
I'm a very late bandwagoner to New York. Like, so I'm only just kind of.
You'll never find it out. You can't find it online.
Oh, right. Yeah.
She's got a good PR person. You might be able to find it online, but she definitely got it removed from a lot of stuff. So, but there we go.
Yes. Oh my Connor God. No one went to the Trump inauguration, and Jill fucking Zarin went to.
Connor
the
had to serve me that tea. Connor was like, "Well, like,
of course,
you know, on a like, he's like a historian of it, isn't he?" So like. I just think like the worst trend is buying stuff that is not fit for purpose because you only want it visually. Mm. What's the point? Like you're adding to landfill and this and promoting people creating a normalizing of using your house to buy into trend. Trends in the interior are usually there for you to kind of like swoop in for when things really suit you. They're not there for you to move with. That's fashion.
Yeah.
Interior is more for you to be like, ooh, I do actually love that check that's out at the moment, blah, blah, blah. And usually there was like really commercial trends that you'd buy into and they might change the blue of the gingham or something every year. But now they're actually doing like full on trends and it just irks me because nothing's made properly.
Mm-hmm.
Like couches are wearing out and they're not fit for purpose. Like couches, they've even gotten to the couch.
Mm.
Like one of the most expensive items. It drives me wild, you know? And you're watching people getting a free couch and then changing it. And then you think, well, I should change my couch. But it's like, no, when someone gets something free, they don't see as much mass in it. So like, come on, you know? And then kitchen trends that are on the way out. I just don't feel like, I think for some, it'll be in for someone and out for someone else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I do, you know what I do think will be going out now since lockdown is thinking that you have to have the best and newest of everything in the kitchen. I think like people...
Like Smeg, we're directly attacking brands here. We're all about chef and I'm directly attacking Smeg here. But like Smeg things are very trendy and I'm just proving... Yeah, like just... And I saw someone, I won't name them, but I saw like, and she's not really an influencer, but like she would have a decent following over here and had a Smeg kettle or something and wasn't that old and the letters just started falling off like really not that long after. I think they replaced it for her and the exact same thing happened again. And
the
it's just like
100 quid.
And like, sorry, I'm weak for a baby pink as much as an expert, but I've just, I don't know when you can see it in people. And I think it's social media to blame for a bit of that as well, though. I think it's
100%.
Just to be showing and to be seen to have these things and they're, and as you said, like they're not fit for purpose and you're spending that kind of money on
who's
them.
The salesperson though, like look back, look at the footprint of that salesperson. Like if somebody's like hardcore selling you interior, is their background ever interior? No. Never.
Yeah.
So like that's like me going to buy a car of somebody that sells like tambourines.
Yeah.
And they're telling, oh, that's a great quality car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With his tambourine in his pocket jingling. Okay. People are just getting dumber with stuff with this.
I'm going to move on to the house house questions, but I just have one more because it was short and I think it's something that I see a lot online and I never know if it's the right thing to do. Ooh. Is it okay to paint tiles?
Yeah. So I've painted a lot of tiles at work because it's like I'm faced with a lot of crap tiles. Sorry. And basically I'm finally learning that I can like do that and not do it at live. And so basically if it's not a natural stone tile, so natural stone is porous and it drinks everything up and you'll ruin it. Most tiles instead have a glaze over them that protect the surface. You can then prime that. And what a primer does is it turns the tile into like a wall that can be painted with any wall paint or like wood paint or something like that. But you have to prep it really, really well. We're all kind of lazy with prep, but with tiles, like you have to clean it down with sugar soap, make sure there isn't a single bit of grease on it or lift. Apply primer and then apply the paint. But you have to remember, you need to paint, to make it look okay, you have to paint the grout as well.
Oh yeah.
No
yeah.
one can get that straight line. And people think they can, but then the edges lift and then it starts peeling off. So one tile paint that I love, if you've really horrible tiles, and I just love this look anyway, is if you paint over it in an off-white, like a sour milk coloured matte, and you just paint the whole thing over and it looks so minimal and chalky, or like a really light pink version of that. It just looks almost like clay or like they've been handmade tiles. It's really, really nice. Like, I think you can paint over them, but I'm more kitchen splashbacks and trims and bathrooms. If you do your entire shower area, it can end up peeling if you haven't sealed it correctly.
There you go. Do you have one or am I going to hit with the housewives? Because you're on, are you on Connor Bean's podcast this week, Housewives of Me? Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll both be out at the same time, so you can listen to this and then go straight on to get more of Laura and Housewives of Me.
People love it though.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. What's her view on this season? And you know,
Did she know
the goings on
and EJ Global?
Yeah, EJ Global.
I think it is a lesson for all women that if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. Mm-hmm. The higher the stakes, the greater the fall.
Chicken. Do you think she knows that though? Like, do you think she's or is she just? I don't know. I just think she...
I think you need a certain personality type to get into it in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need balls of steel.
And she does have balls of steel. I'll give her that.
She does. And then also she's got teams behind her. But I just think that, like, you know, the chicken's going to come home to roost eventually. And, like, she had such wealth. And usually there's a darkness behind a lot of major wealth. Like, we've learned that, especially during lockdown. A lot of really rich people have ill-gotten gains, you know? And I think, like... that's why they say like money talks, wealth whispers, and wealth doesn't whisper because it's chic. Wealth whispers because it doesn't want anyone to know where it came from. Mm-hmm. So she was doing a lot of shouting and now there's just a back catalogue of her showing off money that came from somewhere. You know, I just think that level of wealth, I don't know.
It's messy, girls. It's messy.
Whose home decor is your fave out of all the housewives? Which house would you pick to have?
So Jules on New York always had amazing style, and Carol Radswell always had amazing style as well. Like an animal print, gold, chintzy, like kind of woman on her own kind of a thing. But I think in like the family home styles, Shannon Bedore, in one of her houses before her husband left her and took all his money with him to his new wife and got her pregnant, had a really gorgeous aesthetic. It was all like powder blue velvets, gold. Like she did it really well, but I think she came from quite a wealthy family, so she was used to this like level of quality, but she had really good artistic taste. So those two I really like. As mad as she was, Kelly Bensimone had a gorgeous... Like she had a pink horse or something in the...
Yes. Yeah.
She was just... What I liked about her style was she was doing what she wanted.
Yeah.
You know, like she just does it. Yeah. Like, but yeah, those would probably be like the top kind of ones for me.
And then who's the worst? Whose house would you just love to just like...
Erica James was a bit gross.
Yeah, but that was just like...
There was a chapel.
That was money can't buy a class. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was just like... That wasn't even gaudy in the good way that we love, you know?
Yeah.
It was very like southern kind of style of an old man. You know, like what he would have grown up associating wealth with. Like, I would burn Giselle's house to the ground.
There wasn't really a lot of her in it. Like, when you actually look back on it, it was like...
But you don't get to have a lot of your life and surroundings with you in it when you have a conditional marriage.
Yeah.
Mm.
You are kind of playing by someone else's rules, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in every single uneven distribution of money through a relationship. Yeah. I just mean she made it quite obvious that it was transactional and she kept him happy and she subdued herself around him. Yeah. You know, she kind of called the shots on that. Giselle's house, I would, like...
Raise.
It's the stuff of... Like, just knock it down.
Yeah.
Knock it down. It's like, it's...
It can't be saved. Like, it's...
Oh, my God. And Ramona's kind of makes me feel a bit funny. Like...
Yeah. Yeah.
Just makes me feel a bit funny. And then Sonia's makes me, like, a bit worried. You know, like, you just want to go in and help her. And then I'm trying to think, does anyone else kind of a bit... Like, actually, Dorinda's I loved. Dorinda's Bluestone Manor was just gorgeous.
Yeah, I think someone actually mentioned Dorinda in the Q&A.
Yeah.
There's so many questions. We can't get to all of them, but no. Thank you so much for submitting them. And I guarantee they will be answered in either of Laura's books. So go buy them. It's time to play a game, ladies and gents.
Yeah, you've teased it long enough. Laura did say she was an expert in trends.
Not an expert, I just love them.
Oh no.
Well, you love trends, so I think that's why you'll be very good at my game. Decor galore.
Did you make a PowerPoint?
Or decor no more. Of course I made a PowerPoint.
You said you were working all day.
I keep going to kick out wires. Yeah, working
this
on this.
Oh, Jesus,
sorry.
Iconic.
Okay. So we're going to show you a selection of, it's like some celebrity houses,
my God.
Some trends. And I just want your opinion on them.
This
basically.
Is like Watch What Happens Live.
Truly, yeah. This is.
Oh my God, can I get a picture of
high standards?
With this?
Of course, yeah.
Okay,
get in,
right
quick. So let me describe for the listeners. It is Laura's book on one side, which is called Decor Galore. And then on the other side, Decor No More. See, I'm very good. Okay, oh so first off.
Are there more visuals?
Yeah, of course there.
Okay,
so this one actually came in on the Q&A as well. And I'm going to be honest, this picture is like. Probably a hateful example because it's probably the worst like iteration of the trend.
Amazing.
But it's the influencer crushed grey velvet. Now again, we'll put all these on the Instagram, but this picture is this is the worst because
I in that house.
This is it's like the couches nearly look cow print. They're so crushed in velvet and it is like love on the wall and everything is like silver. Anyway, the influencer grey trend. What's going on there?
So,
Decor Galore, Decor No More.
This was the original start of fast interiors. And because it's always badly made, Decor No More.
Oh,
yeah.
Even if you're into it, they never produce it at a high quality. So
yeah. Cancelled. There's a really good Vice piece if anyone wants to read about why everyone has that grey influencer couch. It's very good. Go read
it. Is there?
Yeah.
Can you summarise it really quick?
No, I can't. Just go read it. secondly, this is kind of like a celebrity house, but it's also a trend. Kim K, minimalism. Decor Galore, Decor No More.
If you don't understand the origins of this trend and you can't talk about the artists that came up with the seating and their work and their love for what they did and the origins and the countries that they come from, if you're not buying this trend from artisan creators, if you're buying this trend from Zara Home, Decor No More. If you're buying it from actual artisans, which is so much easier, and people who are creating it, this comes from a lot of different cultures, and instead it's being literally whitewashed.
Yeah.
So it's Decor No More for me because it's lost. It's the wrong people are making money from it.
Do you think she knows? Do you think Kim knows?
Do you think she knows anything?
Good question.
She decorated her entire home to suit her clothing range, like wasteful.
Yeah. I didn't even get to include some of the best pictures from here, but this is
rooms with just stuff in them.
It must be like somewhere. Like,
a big garage.
I don't think it's at that location. It must be. She definitely is some. Fully. Anyway, this house, I think this house is actually currently up for sale. And I think to repaint it, it's going to cost you like $12,500. And I haven't stopped thinking about it since I saw it. And again, as I said, these aren't actually even the worst pictures of it. Well, other people look at this and think this is class. Anyway, this is Bella Thorne's house. Decor Galore or Decor No More? To describe it for listeners,
is that her?
It's bright pink. Is she there on the wall? Oh yeah, that is like a supposed like a portrait of her kind of. We have like rainbow stairs. It's the outside. I'm like, yes, Barbie Dreamhouse.
I don't
get
it. Yeah,
but then you get in. There's a lot going on. I think we'll admit.
Yeah, and I think I don't see a single bit of function there.
Yeah.
I don't see a single, like, I don't see, like...
That's why she's selling it. She can't live there.
It doesn't look, like, you have it as wild as you want, but there's not a bit of coziness there. Or, like, that furniture looks like a waiting room. Like,
yeah.
That you're walking through, like, it's just somebody walking past rather than... Like, you couldn't sit there with your friend and, like, bitch about somebody.
Yeah, Laura's pointing to, she has, what are they, like floating chairs? Floating egg chairs, but they're, like, it's, like, glass or, like, plastic.
And this.
It's not glass. Yeah, this.
No, she's looking at this.
Oh,
well,
but
the egg chair.
Who is sitting in the egg chair being cozy either?
Yeah, true.
The egg chair looks filthy.
It's like you're in a big fucking Kinder egg. Like, anyway, sorry. Decor Galore, Decor No More.
For this particular instance, Decor No More because they haven't got the right balance of comfort and kitsch.
Bella Thorne, you are cancelled, house cancelled. Well, she's selling it anyway, so it doesn't matter. The Breed suggested this, I think it was interesting. And the one you, oh, well, anyway. It's more a trend again. And, like, I like it, but I think it can be done badly. And I don't really know actually know how practical it is. Neon signs houses. Decor galore, decor no more.
So just signs in general.
Like the trend of it, I just think, yeah, like it's the sign thing. I think like live, laugh, love.
Always kiss me goodnight.
Home is where the heart is.
It's just,
Please be sweet and wipe the seat.
No.
If you sprinkle while you tinkle, be a sweet and wipe the seat.
Chronic.
Instead of just saying, men, pee properly, it's like, we'll send the message nicely. I just think the motivational kind of like sayings thing is getting into the toxic girl boss category. Mm-hmm. It's a world of MLM. Mm. And I just think there's a time and a place for neon. And I just don't think it's in motivational
wall signs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can be done well, but I'm yet to see it in a home and not a commercial space done well.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this one that I have just says, and I said I love you, which I'm assuming is like a song lyric or something.
Kyle Richards has it in her front hall. What
do you know why
say?
She has pink lighting? She looks best in it.
Yeah. I'm going to Google this. Do you reckon?
Definitely.
Oh my God, 100%.
Hang on. And Kyle Richards.
Your man smokes so much weed as well. I bet you it's just lovely to walk into.
Kyle Richards, neon
and the dogs
light
everywhere. It definitely smells.
Yeah, do you reckon her house smells?
Yeah. She's too many dogs. You can't have that many dogs and not have a smelly house.
Oh, hang on. Is this it?
And your husband is stinking of weed the whole time.
Kyle Richards is the sassiest neon sign in her black and white foyer. Thank you, Bravo TV.
Oh, yeah, it's all black and white and she has the pink.
What does it say?
Her house really reminds me of Vanderpump Rules, Sir Restaurant. Oh. Neon, purple, pink, black and white. Like, I feel like Jax was her interior designer. Yeah, like, it's really intense.
Sorry, the sign says, "Bitch, please, you could never be me."
Her kids live
She
there.
Gets harder and harder to defend every time I talk about her. I love Kyle. And then it's just, anyway, what's the next one? I'm interested to hear your opinion on this. Because I see it from like people, again, I think it's a big influencer thing. And I see it from people that I follow and they do it like a DIY and they do it like really well and on a budget. And I'm like, oh my God, I'd love to do this.
I know what this is.
Paneling. Paneling. Decor galore, decor no more. Do you know like that kind
I
of
do
story?
Love that,
can you
yeah.
see? I love it, but then I'm like, does it date it? Is it actually worth the fucking effort? Like, you know,
there's a richness to paneling, and I do really enjoy paneling, but I love when it's like the kind of like ridged look paneling, you know, when it's just really thin lines the whole way along. Mm-hmm. I think, unfortunately, when we're seeing paneling at the moment, it's being done by people who change their houses often. So they're the ones associating paneling with fast interior. I enjoy paneling because for very little and taking up very little in the space, you can add warmth, soundproofing. Mm. You're able to add like an extra buffer to the wall in a hallway and it doesn't create wear and tear on it. Like you're able to add to the integrity of your home. But unfortunately, when you start seeing things in reels moving around really quickly, you instantly associate it with a cheapness.
Yeah. Mm.
So if your first experience of somebody speaking about paneling was someone saying, I really wanted to add this warmth and richness to my room, and it does this, it like... Do people even know it soundproofs? No. Do people know that it provides protection to walls? No, because it's being shown as an accessory. Mm. So paneling for me is decor galore, 100%. But I think people need to start exploring it in its true practical form, not just in the aesthetics of making their house look like a rich person's house.
I didn't even know that. That's mad. I purely thought it was like a decorative thing.
How it came about originally was like the dado rail used to be in dining rooms. I talked about this in Decor Galore actually. They used to be the back of chair height so that you could get up and if your chair scuffed the wall, it wouldn't damage the wall. Mm. And then in hallways, you had a dado rail that would go elbow and below and then you'd have paneling underneath. And your paneling below would... You always see it in older houses. It's because you have staff coming in and out in those older houses and like there's just a lot going on in them. And it protected your walls and it gave them like more integrity. Basically, but now because we're associating them with people who move fast with their consumption, they just need to leave good stuff alone.
Yeah,
leave shit alone.
Stop doing it for the TikTok.
Yeah. This kind of ties into the Kim K one, but I just think I'm surprised this trend hasn't died. I like it to look at, but I just don't think it's practical at all. And it is like the sheepskin kind of teddy bear furniture
again. Like this came from like independent artists, And it's just on.
And Zara were like, yoink.
It's just, and like, I used to work in a job like that where they would show us just like Burberry dresses and we would just redesign them. Like, it's a massive industry. But I do just think in interiors, you're tapping into like creators. This, I think, is amazing if you're someone who can sustain it and keep it, but not a lot. If you sit down on that with a pair of new denim jeans, you stain it with a dye stain that's impossible to get out without using a chemical that takes out the fibers of the sheep skin kind of feel.
Yeah.
So they're very hard to keep up and you want to sit on your chairs.
Very fair. I like this one. And I think she did an Architectural Digest tour recently and it went down very well. This is Dakota Johnson's house. And when I asked my friends, I was like, what other like examples of celebrity houses could you send me? And my friend Laura sent me this and said, her house is very brown. So,
so
thoughts.
She's probably in a really wooded area. And what interior designers will always do is they'll bring the outside inside so that your view actually doesn't look separated from your inside. So like if there's a lot of trees, they'll use a lot of wood. And also when you're in a like a detached home, using a lot of wood paneling like she's done there, which is stunning, it actually adds warmth without you having to put in loads of central heating, which doesn't suit like these wood kind of cabins. I love it. Like what I think she's done really well is like if she had put in a wooden table in either of those rooms and you couldn't see the floor, the place would just look like a sauna.
Yeah.
You know, like that's been done really cleverly. It looks cozy. It looks what? Yeah. Can you imagine sharing a bottle of wine with your friends around that dining table?
Yeah.
Cozy and gorgeous. And you can see like there's layered lighting in there. Like it actually does. Like I wouldn't decorate my house like that, but I can just see like how rich that feels and it looks lovely and warm and like it's not, it is nice and it looks like it's done well with like kind of more indie designers as well.
Decor Glore, Nicole Johnson, I'm sure you are listening to this podcast. And that was it. Thank you so much for playing.
That was stunning.
Decor
that
Glore
was that was
or
stunning.
No more or Decor No More. I can't even remember the title of my own game.
Yeah.
Laura, it's been an absolute pleasure. What's next for you? What are you up to? What's going on?
Bar
literally taking over the world and writing books and just helping so many people.
I think, thanks. I think like I'm starting into like with the new investor and stuff like that. So like that's starting in November. So I've like a big challenge coming ahead. I think it's going to be fine. Yeah, I think it's going to be
so
fine.
So really confident.
Yeah, I'm terrified. It's such a challenge and it's some of the stuff that I've never done before. But like, I've just learned so much already. It's a company that I work with quite often. So I'm going to be taking over a few projects with them and they're really nice. And I am terrified about it. I know I can do it, but
no
it's
better
just...
Woman. You can, no yeah. better woman.
It'll be fine. But other than that, yeah, keep going the way I'm going. So...
Decor Glore is out now from All Good Bookshop.
All the butchers.
Don't go into the butchers. They don't have it.
They might have it.
They might have it.
Actually, I pre-ordered mine like 6 months ago and I got a thing from Essence the other day and I was like, what is this? It was a lovely
surprise. It's like such a nice present for yourself.
Such a, yeah. Crossbreed was looking at it.
And Gaff Goddess, of course, is also in Good Bookshop. So go get that as well. Laura, pleasure.
Thank you
we'll
so much.
We'll have to have you on the next time you're in town.
I'd love to.
Book.
I'd love to.
Genuinely, we've got so many questions. And
Zoom me for an agony aunt. As well.
And, and you'd be great for an agony aunt and we can get drunk.
Yeah. Yeah, oh my god, could we do an
agony
aunt? Oh my god.
We'll put it behind the paywalls. That's to say whatever the fuck we want.
Can we do one where it's like, oh my god, because I really feel like I could give good advice on people who've recently been dumped and they're really heartbroken.
Oh, we get a lot of those.
Yeah.
That's like my favourite topic because it changed my life.
Oh yeah, I wanted to say, as a mega First Dates fan, you're an icon.
Thank you very
you're
much.
Like, and my housemates were like, tell her she's a fucking legend.
That would like, I can literally, so I could literally, I don't know, achieve something massive and it would still be like, First Dates.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, I didn't want to leave it, but like it this is, waiter it is came so up iconic.
In a restaurant one time, this waiter was like, I recognise you. And Shane, God love him, was like, Laura, he was like, such Irish dad energy. Laura now has a second book coming out. And I was looking at this waiter, like... Cam like was snapping like I recognise you and I was saying to Shane he's not finding the fucking books in Ireland like this guy is like this guy's like a London gal on the scene and I was going shut off Shane and he was going where is it and Shane was like and she does some tips and DIY on Instagram and I was like oh my god and then in the end he was just like eyebrows and I was like yeah that's it.
Here I am. And you're at Laura DeBarra on Instagram if anyone wants to follow and join along there you should it's great lots of good obviously housey bits but a lot of reality and ice TV bits as well. Sorry. Very bandwagons.
Very quick.
Very quick. Very quick. Yeah. Speed through them. Go on.
I feel so embarrassed now. Westlife have a new single out.
It's only okay.
I like
Starlight.
It. I
all
like
right.
it.
Okay. And a new album coming in imminently.
Dear Evan Hansen is finally out this weekend.
Oh, and we're going to go see it and do an episode on it.
Yes.
Yes. Next week?
Whenever.
We have time this week?
I won't have time this week.
Oh, fine.
It's not out till the 22nd.
Oh, yeah, okay. Wait, we'll figure it out. It's fine. We are going to do the thumbs up joke because apparently it's terrible. We'll
no.
No, the movie is not perceived well, Brie. Sorry. I need to prep you now. Like, it's... I think you'll enjoy it anyway, but the reviews haven't been good. Anyway, oh, carry on.
An insult.
Well, you liked the musical.
You like it.
And you liked Ben Platt, but I just... Anyway, we'll talk about it at the time. Doesn't matter. Carry on.
Courtney and Travis got engaged.
Courtney and Travis got engaged. How is that a mini bandwagon?
Because you're getting, talking about it, but it's not... It doesn't warrant a full episode.
Well, is it going to be on their new... Is it going to be on their new TV show? I think it is.
There's a camera in the back of one. His son put up a picture today, and in the back there's a camera filming the whole thing.
No.
Like a full on like.
Yeah, they were dressed to, like, she was dressed for a proposal.
I mean, she is LARPing her way through this entire romance. Like, it's life action role play. Like, she's dressing up as a goth.
Yeah.
Like, I literally, like, wait. Like, you were literally in a tracksuit.
Yeah, yeah.
5 weeks ago, and now you're wearing like lace dresses and like skull jewellery.
Yeah.
It's LARPing.
I love the pics of her with the drumsticks and she's like, ooh, drumsticks.
Did you see Nori's black book about it? Yeah.
So good. They reckon she's going to take over from Kim as like the lead Kardashian for
Kim
the new one.
Kim is rocking back and forth right now in her room full of bits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kim did SNL and it's such a good reaction that she's like, oh, I do think they're in love, but I think that's they're going to pivot the show to be about them because what's Kim going to do?
Which is mad because Courtney's the reason it ended, kind of, isn't it?
Yeah. Who's Kim going? Kim is going to blow her out of the water.
Like, yeah, she's gonna, Kim is going to make
Kim
sure
is now
she
single.
Has
with some other.
Like, I wonder. I think she'll get like. What if she got with somebody like Stormzy or something like UK?
Yeah.
I know.
Idris Elba, is he married?
He's married.
She'll get with someone young. She needs Gen Z.
I would die if she. I need that to happen now. Oh my god! I would physically pass away.
So weird.
If that happens. We'll all have to do the lotto. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much again to Laura DeBarra for joining us. We're on Patreon. Come over and join us. Cian was on this weekend. We talked about Succession.
A lot of love for Cian and Mark.
Drag Race. Yeah. Because two people in the feedback were like, no more boyfriends. And everyone else is like, excuse me. All we want is the boyfriends.
Someone said they want one with just Mark, Cian and Shane. Even though Shane's never been on.
Lad wagons. Bro wagons. Absolutely not. Miss Andrus is forever. But do go over there if you want to get some more bonus content. We have live shows, come see us.
Oh yeah.
Two in Dublin, one sold out, and Cypress Avenue in Cork.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a skit.
You're doing Cypress Avenue?
Yeah. So never excited. Been.
I've actually never been either, which is desperate. I've said this before, but anyway. We're Bandwagons Podcast everywhere on social media. If you want to check out our website, you'll get all the details about live dates and everything else on bandwagonspodcast.com. I'm Fionnuala.
I'm Breed.
And this has been an absolute pleasure. We shall see you next week. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Motz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.